of kid.
All I gotta say is Portland can't say shit.
It's scintillating. It's sensational. It's Seattle Sounders FC Soccer.
Spank
yes, your monkey
before I said that.
Man, I gotta tell you, I made the mistake of saying...
We do not want to know about it.
No, you do. Made the mistake at Pub League today to talk about how nicely Brandon's balls were dropping.
Yeah, it's about time.
He went from Brandon
to Brandon.
Let's go, Brandon. We're not gonna talk about Trump inciting an insurrection.
Oh, I forgot about that. I hated that because when Brandon and Tanev got hurt, we couldn't chant "Let's go, Brandon" because of that.
Okay.
So we've time shifted to just before the 20th
and
minute.
It's 20 flat, and Aaron Langley is here with a beer that I cracked while we were on break because I showed up late. Wasn't paying attention to traffic laws in California.
I mean, I thought there were.
That feels like step par for the course.
Just drive 80 like everyone else, and that's the slow lane. It's beautiful. So the question was, what should the players do? I mean, I think it depends on the player, because if there's a player that wants to ever play in a FIFA tournament again, they likely can't do much. I'm curious if it would affect them in this FIFA tournament. Also, would they be fined or would they be banned? What would happen? FIFA is not going to look kindly on protests. I think you could put messages on your shirts and pull up your shirt after you score a goal, stuff like that. But once you're in it, you also don't want to hurt the relationship with the Players Association too. So I think they've got to all come up with a plan and do it in solidarity together. And if someone wants to take it into their own hands, it has to be someone who is not worried about a future in a FIFA, like going to the World Cup.
Well, I mean, Steph Fry is obviously a leader in such, would fall into that camp. However, if we look at some of the prior protests, such as during the Black Players for Change group that was formed, seeing teams take knees, seeing different types of protests. I would like to just see this get resolved.
I mean, I think it's too late at this point. I don't know what, if the MLS's offer is that bad, I don't understand what could be made better, because they didn't even play ball. It was the most insulting offer they could have given.
Yeah.
They would have been better off saying nothing.
Honestly. We're going to find out more in the next week.
Yeah,
and I think sweeper keeper, seeing what kind of pushback that the league gets, we'll find out.
I mean, the unfortunate thing is there's no games here. I mean, next week there is some other games going on, but there's no games by the teams that are affected, so there's no chance for fans to protest.
That's true, but we can certainly find all three teams making a joint statement, or the MLSPA making a joint statement. Obviously media scrums leading into this, they have chances to make statements. So we'll see what happens over the coming days.
I just don't trust FIFA here. Like what you were talking about before were protests against the MLS and FIFA. This is a FIFA tournament, so they could completely screw it up for everyone.
Well, again, this is, I want to focus less on FIFA, because FIFA, frankly, I'm going to shock myself when I say this, FIFA's done no wrong in this situation. They created the prize money with the intent that it goes to players to get player involvement. MLS.
But the problem is that it's a FIFA tournament. That's what I'm saying. So any protest done against the MLS in the tournament would be seen in a poor, make FIFA in a poor light. So that's why I'm saying that anything that's done in it could hurt someone's FIFA career.
But there are things you can do that don't involve during the actual 90 of the game being played.
But also that may not be, I mean, I want to caution against using interviews if they're part of your involvement in the tournament. Now, if they're going on KJR and just talking, that's completely different. But if it's during your media time, when you're supposed to be available to those reporters that are covering the tournament, that again could be something that could be punished.
Why couldn't they be on our show, Cameron? Why would KJR be their option?
I mean,
you can't pull
if you want to call up Alex Caulfield and make it happen, I'm all for it.
We got credit.
Love to see how that conversation goes.
Okay. I mean, it's true. We have an open invitation to any player that wants to come on and talk labor rights and stuff like that with you. We'll do it. Or if you just want to talk about your paintings or your house that you designed in one of those islands over in the water, come on. We'll talk to you.
I wonder how many times he's gone to Isla Bonita.
La Casa Bonita.
Or San Carlos. San Carlos was the whitewashed kind of Mexican place that was on the island. More actually, Southwest is what they classify themselves as. Southwest food. No. But really good. But just kind of classic.
I will say, we're here in the starting the 26th minute. The Sounders defense has been relatively solid in the back today. You know, anytime Vancouver has pushed forward, their chances have largely been. There's a guy in the Vancouver section wearing a Yankees hat. What the heck is this garbage? Anyway, the Sounders defense has largely been organized and clearing the ball out very well, which is something that we love to see. And maybe something that's harmed us this season is that we haven't been doing that as clearly.
Yeah, and their offense has been possessive.
They look better today than they did in some previous games, though.
I am liking these kits. I'm liking that blue.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And if it's, I mean, I think, Fry getting a little test.
I believe we're still unbeaten in these blues.
Beautiful.
I don't want to jinx that, but
now the one thing that's key on these types of episodes, and I know you're both intently watching, is we can't watch and not talk. So you need to make sure to fill sound and only slow down if something very exciting is happening. You need to have mind on the game and one mind in the talking, because otherwise it won't be as.
Where are
fun.
We on the table?
Which brings where are we at in the table?
Entering down,
fifth, something like that. We are. That not winning the other day hurt a lot, I think, because we had a chance to jump to second. Yeah. But here is a chance to get 3 points against a team. What did y'all think about the fact that they tried to wriggle their way out of this game, though, by saying we're sick and have players away?
What was the story behind that? I caught on to that, but I was just a little out of the loop.
They tried to get it postponed.
Multiple players. They couldn't. They had to cancel training sessions because something like 15 players got sick. By the way, we are in fifth place in the standings with 27 points. How, going into the game.
Is Portland ahead of us now with their last second win today?
I don't know if the standings have been updated, but they are at 29 points. I believe that does include today.
Yeah, that should if based on because we were ahead of them initially.
Taking a look at the live standings, we're fifth, Portland's fourth.
Yeah, because they got their at least after the 89th minute with that 7 minutes of injury time, they scored in that match, unfortunately, against St. Louis. And another failed corner for the Sounders. I struggle with the fact that we have the most corners in the league, and yet we have, what, one goal based off of corners?
It was a problem last season as well, where we had so many corners.
I feel like, and this isn't just a Rusnak thing, but sometimes we have trouble getting the ball over the first defender on corners. And even if we do, no one gets their head to it. And so maybe we need to start doing short corners or, Brian looked into different ways to do it last year.
I've seen a number of short corners.
A few.
I mean, we have the most corners in the league still, right?
Yeah, when you stepped away, that's what you're saying. We have the most in the league, but we have the worst scoring percentage off of it because we don't score.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Jesus Ferreira is down. It looks like he got stepped on, maybe.
Yeah, but he seems to be okay. Nuhu trying to get the ball back in quickly, not caring about his teammate.
No one's moving. Why is he trying to throw that in early?
Maybe Brian told him. He's right behind there. It's funny seeing from this angle. I feel like I'm just so used to home games where Brian's on the other side of the field.
Oh, yeah. The camera wells on that. That's a good point. It does also show up really, really much in these broadcasts, but it's largely considered to be some of the worst pitch in the league is the BC place. And it doesn't look too great on TV, that's for sure.
Yeah, it looks pretty beat up. It's the BC Lions play here. Is there any other teams?
Well, I mean, they're large concerts, probably. I know Rogers Arena is right there, but I'm sure they get the...
I mean, Nick and I saw Beyonce here.
Yeah.
Yes. At the so they get... No. Wait, was it here? It was here. That's right. It wasn't at GM place. Yeah, we saw Beyonce here.
Yeah.
I had to think about that. That was Roma's first concert.
Is that Christian with the shot in there?
Yeah.
So now we do have a corner kick coming up with Rosnack. So let's see.
Is it go over under the first
player? Yeah, I mean, he's been getting him over largely, but then they go Rosnack really far. Over the but that's interesting that Ryan Kent came out to get the short corner, and that usually pulls the defender out, but it hadn't there. So if that keeps happening, you're going to see that pass come to him later in this game. So that'll be a really interesting takeaway from that.
That was a pretty good.
Oh, that was a really good ball from Christian to Pedro for a shot that just went wide.
I don't even think it was meant for Pedro, though. I think it was meant for Jesus. And Pedro, it was running the opposite direction and got it and then almost put it in the corner of the net.
Yeah. So other scuttlebutt going on right now in MLS. What do you guys got?
What time are you at? In your game, Cameron.
30:59.
Okay. Yeah, I had a hiccup while the corner was being taken.
Oh, that's interesting. That's why you were behind us.
It's like, what shot?
That makes sense. I mean, I feel like, did we talk about it last episode? I don't think we did. Messi, his agents have been given the go-ahead to talk with Saudi Arabia officials about going to play there.
I did not see that, actually.
That doesn't mean he's going to. In fact, it's probably just a leverage move in order to
get more money.
But with Cristiano Ronaldo leaving and potentially going to LAFC, that's a interesting scuttlebutt going on. I don't think Messi would leave, but they would definitely play against each other. You know, the league would put that together if they were both in the MLS. Mm-hmm. This is a good question.
By the way, I'm at 31:40 right now. 41.
So you're like 15 seconds.
Try and refresh. They're in a water bottle.
Yeah, I'm in a water ring too, but I can't skip one.
Then back out. Back out and reload.
Yeah. What?
32.
What would you think? I mean, what would you think about Ronaldo coming to the Sounders now? No. And I agree with you. I'm not asking from a we have to pay all that money perspective. I'm asking from a soccer perspective.
Yes, please.
No.
Yes, please.
No.
You say yes. Okay.
Let me have a little bit more nuance to this.
Yes, please.
If we're spending that kind of money for a player, whatever that dollar amount is, we can absolutely get someone that will be a better fit for the Sounders club.
I agree with you.
And the type of player we're looking for.
I mean, we could get four of those somethings.
Well, maybe not because you only get 3 DP slots. But I get what you're
saying.
Bring
in one as a TAM player. You know, there's ways to figure it out, right?
But no, so that's the thing is, and this is someone who my old housemate was from Portugal, so I have watched a lot of Ronaldo games. And I like Ronaldo. Ronaldo, as a player, Ronaldo shares the exact same birth date as my wife. So it's kind of funny to think, wow, so Bernie, you could be playing soccer at this professional level.
I mean, there's still time. Get that MLS deal.
right? No, but
so the video with that 32-year-old who practiced really, really hard and he tried out for the LA Galaxy.
I mean, I could play for the LA Galaxy right now with how bad they are.
Finland just accidentally called up a 51-year-old mm-hmm. with the wrong name instead of
the right name, but just the same name.
No, it was a different first name though.
Oh,
it was same last name. So it was I think the coach was probably like, oh yeah, because the other one was a famous player, right?
I missed that. I thought they shared the same name.
Sorry. No, that's what I thought originally, but sadly, no, it was a bigger mess up than that. But yeah, I mean, I think I agree with you. We could bring in a lot more talent across a roster instead of relying on one player.
Well, the other thing is, let's just say for the sake of this argument, that we're only going to spend this money on one player. Would you want Ronaldo? Like, we're going to spend whatever that dollar amount it is that he costs to get. That's how much we're going to spend. Do you want Ronaldo, or do you want to spend that same amount of money on another player who would theoretically not have the same pedigree or the same talent level as Ronaldo?
But maybe someone a couple years younger.
Well, definitely. Everyone's younger than Ronaldo, but yeah.
I mean, there's players out there that I think we could get that would be a better fit than him based on his ego.
Yep, that's my biggest concern outside of, for this purpose, I'm not talking about the rape allegations at all.
Yeah.
Which is why I don't think he'll ever come to MLS anyways, but that.
I mean, I think they've clearly been dealt with. If that's all the rumors are him now coming to MLS, there's five teams, but the odds are currently set at 2-1 he comes to LAFC.
I don't know. Okay.
So clearly something's been straightened out with that. I don't know. Okay. Obviously, I'm not a fan of him. So I think he is he's the Dwight Schrute of soccer. He's great, but he's extremely overrated, and I don't understand why people love him so much. He's no Zinedine Zidane.
Oh, knew who running into the box and trying to make something happen.
He's not a top 10 all-time player, so how is he even in the GOAT conversation? I like the old Ronaldo. I think the real Ronaldo is a better Ronaldo than him.
Okay, I'm gonna push back on the top 10.
Yeah, he's definitely top 10.
He's a top 10. Yeah. Even if you don't like him,
28 is pretty incredible. 18.
Yeah.
I just think there's too many good players in the past that, I mean, I'd rather have Zidane. I'd rather have Franz Beckenbauer. I mean, if we're only talking forwards and wingers and stuff, yeah, maybe. Iniesta, you know, there's a bunch of those Spanish players that I think I would put above him for sure.
Keep in mind, Ronaldo is the top goal scorer of all time in all of soccer. He's scored more goals than any other player in soccer history.
Yeah, when you go to Saudi Arabia and are scoring 80 goals a season because you're playing against crappy. Tom Brady's the greatest of all time when Tom Brady got to play against the Dolphins and the Jets all the time. Like, if Tom Brady played in every other division, he would be considered like a good quarterback, but he would not be considered the greatest of all time.
Because he 2 years ago was first round bye, wasn't he?
Okay, wait. I'm going to push back on that because one, how many goals has he scored in Saudi Arabia? But two, more importantly, he's at 938 goals. Second place is Messi with 865. Third place is Pele with 762. So unless he's scored 200 goals in the last few years that I'm not aware of, I'll call BS on that. Again, it's okay to not like him as a person. I hate Tom Brady. I can recognize that he's one of the best players of all time because he's done it for so long.
I'm not saying neither of them isn't one of the best players of all time.
You're saying he's not one of the top 10 in your list. Okay. Yeah.
He would be number probably 11 on the list.
If I'm being completely honest, I would probably put the percentile of people who do not have him in their top 10 under 7%.
I think it's a recency bias, though, and that I think
that he's alive is the years during he's alive. Yeah, during
we've
our
identified
life.
The problem. Yeah. We've identified the
he
problem.
Needs to die.
Yeah. Okay. Let's make that happen.
Oh my God, this got dark.
You're wearing a Brazil.
Yeah, he's not Brazilian. He's Portuguese. That's what I'm saying. The real Ronaldo.
I was just gonna say that you just don't want him to be above Pele.
I would put Roberto Carlos ahead of him.
Cameron's like, he's not even the best Portuguese player of all time. That's Eusebio.
Yeah. I mean, it might be Figo if we're being honest here.
Jesus Christ.
Has nothing to do with this.
He was already dead.
But yeah,
I got to just say that so far we're 38 minutes in. Nuhu is having a game. He is making plays literally on both end lines of the field. He's having a game. So a lot of credit.
He's putting in a lot of effort, and he's playing good defense.
And he almost had a tap on that they just showed the net cam of Pedro's shot that went wide, and Nuhu was the one making the back post run. It's crazy.
That's because we push we have possession for so long in their end of the field that everyone gets an opportunity. We just don't do anything with it.
Good to see Pub League ethos coming to MLS.
Yeah, it's about time. I actually had to sub on today, and I was typical Sounders. After solidly defending,
I was delayed
the entire time.
I heard "Oh God!" Stood around to just catch up because I think I'm just. Oh. I think the buffering.
Now, in all fairness, that was really well. The dummy was really nice.
Yeah, but someone's.
But I'm not sure if it was intentional.
I'd like to see the replay because we had three players standing right there, and none of them made a move for the ball, and they seem to be showing Jonathan Bell, so they think it's his fault, perhaps. Mm-hmm. But Fry's even like, "What happened?" He's gonna go look at that replay. We'll see. We'll see. As we see the replay come in. Beautiful pass to the right side of the box, back to the top. It gets crossed over to the left. He's in the box with two men on him. This I 26 dummies it, goes through his legs, and
we just got picked apart.
So whoever was meant to be on him, just let him go. And I can't tell from that position, but
might have been Nuhu.
Nuhu and Christian's in a weird spot. He's not normally in that position, but he's the next closest guy in the middle.
It also could have been Obed. Obed was just kind of standing back there. I don't know but I can't tell.
It looked like we got passed and passed. So they were the passing was so good, our communication just stopped.
Our defenders,
no one could keep up with where they were passing.
Our defenders were covering the guys who overran the ball. And they just had a guy standing there ready to be a trailer. And so the Sounders are down 1-0 on the road in a game where they largely have been the better team, but just can't seem to get it. This would be – let's talk about this. If the Sounders lose this match, a game where they have all their starters minus John Bell and Jordan Morris – against a team that is missing.
John Bell.
I mean, John Bell.
Even Kim Keehee is, I think.
He's hurt.
I know. Even not having Kim Keehee.
Yeah, he'd be ahead of. He would be ahead of him too. You're right. But basically, our center back and our forward are the two positions that are out of, or don't have our starters in there. We lose a game to a team that is already missing players because they are
international duty.
On international duty, plus sick players.
Plus they said they didn't want to play.
Yeah, plus they tried to. I mean, to me, this is a game, and this is far from over. You know what I mean? And they're still a good team, but this is a game where we should be. You can't make mistakes like that, and we should be winning. And we haven't been able to put up the goals to show that we can here. So hopefully, this is the game where that changes. But to me, demoralizing loss heading into a tournament where if I'm a player, I don't want to play. I don't want to potentially get hurt at the Club World Cup against some of these teams and ruin the rest of my career. I just saw a clip of Michael Ballack's career. He got injured and was the last game before the World Cup when he played for, I think it was Chelsea. Missed out on the whole World Cup. And it was
that the one in Germany?
It might either that or the one one after. I'm not sure.
South Africa?
It had to be the one after because Boateng was the one who hurt him. Okay. So it was a, if you can get hurt in a game that's meaningless, It is rough. Although I hope we see Obed shine. What do you do at this point when you can't? I mean, Vancouver's amazing. We're not disputing that, but they just don't have their players right now. I guess it shows how good their system is.
I guess.
Well, with that said, I did watch the replay of the goal a couple times while you were having that conversation. Unfortunately, that was New Who's Man. Christian was kind of covering the area between the shot and Steph Fry. But it's just credit Vancouver for putting a very dangerous ball in. John Bell can't really make a play on that ball in that position because he's almost in a dangerous own goal position. And so it's just well done.
I think the goal started three passes before the actual shot. And I think that's where it broke down and they just made the right next two passes. But yeah, credit to them. But they didn't want to play. They wanted to postpone this match and we're on the road, but we're 2 hours north of home. So.
And still, this is a chance for players to step up who aren't given a chance to start regularly, though, and shine. And so this is a great opportunity for them.
With that said, we have some housekeeping to note. We are at the 44-44 moment of the match. At halftime, we're going to do a commercial break. We're not going to talk during the halftime break. And then we'll start up again at the start of the second half because we want this to be about a 90-minute episode and not like a four-hour episode. But I'm bad at math. But so just be aware of that. So those of you listening and want to play around, there are 3 minutes of added time. How are you feeling about this first half?
Not good.
I mean, I was feeling positive until that goal scored. I mean, it again feels like missed opportunities, but we're the better team, and yet here we are again trailing. And I don't know. We don't have a super sub off the bench right now, do we? I think everyone who's
Georgie, Paul, and Danny. Yeah.
Well, I mean, those aren't super subs to me. Those are just subs. Yeah.
No. I get it. Well,
you can't sub in a Jesus Ferreira or a Jordan Morris or a Ryan Kent off the bench.
Jesus can do something here, no Christian.
Yeah, I mean, it would be nice, but it's just there's perhaps our bench is deeper than their bench because of the sickness, because of the people that are gone. So that will
be better. I was gonna say, let's get down with the sickness.
Okay.
Yeah, you must be a little behind again because
what's your time shot?
46:17.
Oh yeah,
46:10.
4 seconds.
But
okay. Yeah,
I'm 46:27 now.
Whatever.
What? Now you're ahead. We'll get it together at halftime.
I just fast forward.
We have New Who with a chance here to kind of oof, and then he just went flying out. So didn't get the ball where he wanted it. That's probably we have another minute and a half. But I mean, before we go on our break here.
And again, look at this. New Who is getting himself in deep.
Is that what he should be doing, though? I mean, I don't know if those are the coach's orders, but I do know
he's creating opportunity. I can't complain.
But then we're vulnerable at defense. I do know that our GM said that his main job these days is to watch the above camera and just make sure that our left back stays back and doesn't get out of position. And so, to me, unless he's been told to do that, as of a week ago, he's out of position this entire game. So that is worrisome to me. We'll see what happens, though. I will say he's had two great runs that have led to mediocre crosses that if they were on target, would have scored goals. That's not his fault. He's a back. He's not a winger.
Well, I mean, he did just hit them but he hit them with a lot of pace, too much pace.
Too much pace. Currently, and then hit the wrong play. I mean, Rusnak said, "I want it here." After
currently Sounders' possession is 68% possession, which about tracks with what I'm seeing on the field.
Does it got XG on there?
This one does. And currently, the XG is 0.53 to 0.5 in favor of Vancouver.
I think that's fair since they did score the goal. If they hadn't, I would have thought that would be a little over the top. But they scored at the time they needed to, and we're not seeing that yet from the Sounders. But we've got 45 more minutes to do this. So, Aaron, you have any words on the first half before we take a break?
Balls to the wall. Let's just go balls to the wall. I'm just tired of seeing the same stuff.
I mean, that's an awkward thing, but I'm not going to kink shame you. Okay.
Trying to be succinct.
Is that like Blair Witch style? Should I be facing the wall?
Yes.
No. Let me go get another beer and check on my baby who's crying, and I'll see you in a moment.
All right. We'll see everybody in a soon. Listen to this ad about Patreon. Patreon. Hey, everybody. This is one of your hosts, Cameron Collins. Now, I know we said this time was time for a break, but really, it's a time for me to talk to you about our corporate overlords. And our corporate overlords are us. That's right. We would love it if you would head on over to patreon.com and look for Sounders Scuttlebutt Podcast. We will put the link here in the show. And subscribe. You can subscribe for as little as $1.74 a month. Now, what will that get you? Well, I'll guarantee you get at least one extra episode per month that'll be a cool interview or something like that that otherwise you would not hear. Now, we might put out promos or other things that include that, but the whole episode intact will only be available for you Patreons, at least initially. Now, there will be other stuff that we put in there, but this is where we're starting at. Why, you ask? Well, we have bills to pay, and we need to make sure that we can keep this show going. You would not believe the going rate for PA announcers. So head on over to Patreon, go to Sounders Scuttlebutt Podcast, and subscribe. You even get a cool little downloadable membership that has our logo on it. That's Sounders Scuttlebutt Podcast over at patreon.com, patreon.com. Now back to your regularly scheduled programming. So I feel a lot better at halftime.
I feel a lot better now.
Nicholas and I, while Aaron was away and is now covered in liquid?
What's going on? That would be baby spit. That would be baby spit. It's liquid.
As we're about to kick off here in the second half.
Ooh. Speaking of liquid.
We did a Portland Sucks chant, and now we just feel way better.
Oh, I missed that.
Kickoff for me was right there. So
I'm a few seconds ahead of you. What's your timestamp?
45:07.
Okay, I'm going to pause for 5 seconds. 45:14.
Halftime, they talked about the Sounders were ball watching on that goal, and that was only the second assist from the player who got that assist, and the goal scorer is a young 19-year-old who has come up through their system since he was 13. So, you know, from that perspective, if you're not a Sounders fan, it's a pretty cool
thing to have happen. I mean, as long as this doesn't turn into their version of the Austin game a few years ago.
Yeah.
Which right now, that's the best analogy I can come up with.
Yeah.
Is that this is their Austin game. Okay. Now, with that in mind, I do want to acknowledge around the town scoreboards, Chicago scored 7 against DC United. Now that's impressive in its own,
including a hat trick.
I mean, that's impressive enough. But earlier in the season, they got beat 7-2 to Nashville. My question is, and both of those games were in Chicago. So if you're a Chicago Fire fan, you got to be like, what am I going to see? Oh wait, I'm sorry. Both those games were on the road. My apologies. But my bigger point is, has that ever happened in a season where a team has given up and scored a 7 spot in the same season?
I mean, we scored 7 on San Jose. Did we give up 7?
I think our biggest loss is 5 goals. I think I don't know if anyone's ever scored 6 on us.
Yeah, I can't recall that, but
I don't recall that either, but
if that happened, we probably wouldn't be able to recall it.
Yeah, what's the difference between 5 or 7 at that point, I feel like?
Ask the Germans.
Oh. That was a very, very painful match.
You're wearing... Oh, yeah, never mind. I'm like, wait, you're wearing...
Germans won.
I know. I realize. Oh, man.
Oh, that should be a red card.
That definitely...
So 47-17 for me.
Yep, you're right with us.
It's ahead of us, yeah.
Obed just got taken down. No card is shown.
Absolutely crushed. No yellow card.
It might have just looked worse, especially from our angle, from behind. Pedro fighting through. Oh, man. You could see Ryan was ready to just volley that.
Here's the thing. Between De La Vega, Ryan Kent, knew who this match. Like, this is still the same shit we always see. And, In what way?
Lots of chances.
Possession,
no
crosses, bounces around, gets kicked back out, but nothing actually. We'll have one or two. Okay, Obed just drilling. Oh. De La Vega with a deflected shot.
So here's the thing. Here's the way I see it. I see it the same way we look at Danny Musasi in the first part of the season, where I'm like, he keeps putting himself in good positions. Things will happen.
We're a full season. We're half season done, and things are not happening.
That's my problem. It comes in spurts. We're doing the right thing. It's just there's no actual production from it. Like it seems to be always falling the wrong way when the cross comes in or the shot is taken or so.
I mean,
and we're getting some results. I mean, obviously we just lost our last match, but we had a May the Points Be With Us episode,
yeah,
right?
I mean,
like it's just not as exciting as I'd like it to see or as consistent.
We've talked about that. We were not dominating those games. We were winning some of them on flukes. We were. And you have to. There's those games throughout the season. I think the problem is that it's consistently.
It's becoming our identity. Is a lack of an identity.
Well, in the Western Conference, we are right around the middle as far as goals scored with 25. San Jose's leading with 34. Austin's down with 13. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 teams below us. So we're kind of right middle of the pack with that. Same thing in the East. You know, we'd be right in that middle of the pack. So we're a middle table goal scoring team. That's just where we are right now.
But with our mediocre defense, we have to be top of table goal scoring team.
Well, it's funny you bring that up because as far as goals allowed, we're actually towards the top. We've only allowed 22 goals. There are only four teams in the Western Conference. Sorry, I got hiccups suddenly. Four teams in the Western Conference who have allowed less goals than us. So it's just our confirmation bias here. It looks like Ryan Kent took a ball to the face or got sun.
I think that's just his.
Yeah, he just gave up the ball. That's just his ready
English running in the heat. Okay, the
ruby cheeks.
Yeah.
Or he's just embarrassed because he keeps giving the ball up. I think that's other than his little four match.
I mean, only 22% of our wins are on the road. A third of our draws are on the road. 44% of our losses. Our XG on the road is 1.56. It's 1.99 at home. Mm-hmm. Our XG against is 1.37 away, and it's 1.2 at home. So the deal here is. On the road, there's a huge discrepancy, and still our XG is higher.
Oh, geez. Yeah, you have to do that there, but as long as it's not dog so.
No, it's a yellow card, but there was other men back. Oh, they just gave him the dog so.
It's a red card.
I don't agree with that.
I don't agree with that at all, either.
When you're way over on the right far side, that seems surprising, but you know, you've got to try and stop him without pulling him down if it is dog. So that's a huge, huge mistake.
Let's see here.
So Nuhu is beat wide. He's running after the ball.
100%.
That's dog. So for sure. That is a terrible from Nuhu.
Yeah.
He's got to know what's going on around him.
Even though there are other players over on the left side,
they're way back though. They're 10, 15 yards back. He's going to have a one-on-one with the keeper right there. That's a clear dog. So that's some of the most poor play we've seen from Nuhu in his career.
He's had a game today.
Well, This is the second time, and I wasn't involved in the first time we did a record while we watch. That one didn't go terribly well either, did it?
They haven't yet. But the odds are against us anyways, because road games, in, you know, inherently are tougher to win.
I don't know.
I mean, when you have players that are as bad as Nuhu, I mean, what he's provided us nothing offensively. Dangerous chances, terrible. I mean, his one job is to play defense. What are we going to do? We're screwed.
Well,
now we're going to have to go all in.
Actually, I kind of like that idea.
This
of all the games, this is the kind of game where we can get a result down a man because we got to commit to attacking.
I agree, but putting your team in this position is just absolutely poor.
Oh, it's poor decision making altogether. Like the way,
not what. Yeah, that's a foul.
And that's a goal.
Nope, it's a foul. Nope. He called the foul.
He called the foul. Okay, yeah. Good. I don't like that foul. I think we'll have to see the replay. I think they give it to goalies too often, but I'm glad in this instance.
I'm pretty sure he got hit in the chest with his arms raised, going for the ball.
Yeah,
but he's going towards the player, and he's going through the player, in my opinion.
Yeah, but well, let's see. Arms up.
Yeah, no, I mean that the player there for Vancouver has every right to play that ball. Yeah, they're going to call that every time, but it's because they're overprotective of goalies and they need to reset that, because I think it's a very poor. Oh my God, that was bad. Giveaway by De La Vega there, immediately giving Vancouver a chance to shoot on goal. I just hate that they protect goalies in a way where that offensive player had every right to play for that ball. And that's clearly what they're looking at here.
Yeah,
like, no, that's a foul on Fry.
Yeah.
They're going to call a foul.
Yeah. That should have played on. I'm agreeing with you after I see the replay, but if a keeper has his arms raised, hand in contact with ball, and then gets hit in the chest, which I thought I saw, I would think that's not like being overly protective of the keeper. That's the only way he can do his job. They can do their job, right? It's just they're reaching up to get the ball and you get hit underneath.
That's oh my God, are we going to get another dog so?
You kidding me?
Got another dog so.
Is it a red card honeymoon?
Another dog so on us?
Yep, Jonathan Bell.
I was too busy being angry that Alex Diaz.
It looked like he cut behind the player that got in front of him and their feet got tangled up. And although. You gotta know where your feet are, I guess, right?
I'm sorry. At some point, this just comes down to the coaching staff. This is a half season of this bullshit.
Onside.
And you got Christian right there.
Yeah, Christian's there. That's not dog so, but.
That's not.
He touched his arm. He didn't pull it.
Their feet got tangled. Their feet got tangled.
Oh.
Feet got tangled. And
Okay. I was looking at the other part. Yeah, I mean, that's a foul. But that's a yellow. That's not a dog, so. They need to go to VAR on that.
I don't even know if it's a yellow. I mean, it is because of the position.
You fouled a guy from behind.
Yeah, but that was clearly incidental. But it's definitely a foul.
It doesn't matter. You can't do that when a guy's running in front of you.
I agree. If you're going to reach for the back pocket, that's...
I mean, I'm going to say it. To me, this is
rough.
As much as I don't want the Sounders to perform in the Club World Cup because I don't want anyone to get hurt. If we perform as poorly in the Club World Cup, I do not want Brian Schmetzer back as the coach when we are on the other side of this, because this is fucking ridiculous. This is a half season of some of the worst Sounders performances we've seen versus the quality of player on the field.
I'm not going to go that hyperbolic.
Hyperbole would be firing right the fuck now.
I was on the field.
That's me
right now.
Having a rational opinion, being like, this is unacceptable. This is happening time and time again. Not all red cards. We're finding ways to lose games. It's like we're watching the Seattle Mariners. It's just disgusting. The Sounders are better than this.
We're really only down, when you think about it, we've had the same injuries everyone gets, Paul Areola has been the biggest,
he's the big gut punch.
But then you bring in Ryan Kent, and we've had him for a month and a half.
I mean, that's the problem, is he hasn't played for so long. They're saying that, like, he's going to have his ups and downs, because
for sure. And I'm still happy with the signing, but I'm just not giving the injury bug anymore. It's half a season.
That's just not even an excuse anymore. Yeah. Do we get a different result? Well, Jordan Morris, I don't think gives us goals. He hasn't.
Well, he was frustrating to begin with. Not producing.
And sure, maybe not having the pairing we have in the back there helps a little bit, but it doesn't help that much. Nuhu gave up the goal here.
Bell-Reagan pairing is not terrible. This is more systemic.
Bell has been exposed the last two matches, unfortunately. He had a really great season overall, but I think you've seen him, and I don't know if he's trying to make up for what's happening elsewhere, but you've seen him do things a few times that were surprising. And I don't know how that didn't go to VAR.
In fourth. Yeah, that should have gone. I agree.
Because you had Christian right there. That shouldn't have been Dogso, unless it wasn't a red for Dogso. Maybe it was a red, straight red for tackling from behind.
With the feet that, yeah.
I mean, it was tangled, though. It wasn't like he swung at it, so I'd be surprised. But it just seems, I don't understand that call.
Bit harsh.
Yeah.
But I would rather see some chaos right now. Now, here we go. He's going to pull the ball back, wait for everybody.
Well, he's got it.
Oh, my God.
He's not fast enough to, and he passes it all the way back the other side of the field.
I understand. It's just still frustrating to watch.
But why don't we have any players forward? Why? I mean,
because we have nine players.
Who cares if we lose 20-0? At least try to score a goal at this point.
Well, you gotta, to be fair, it when is it's a one goal game, you got to pick your nothing. you got to pick your spots.
I agree with that, but I'm saying
a free kick or a corner.
I don't have a problem with them not following Jesus up there. Why didn't any players come once Jesus stopped the ball? Like, two players came up and the rest of them were on the back half of the field.
When Ryan Kent is playing
poorly, Kent from Masovsky is our
I want to play a game with Ryan Kent's last name. We shouldn't give him a different last name based on a city of the King or Pierce County region based on the performance he's having.
So what would Ryan Federal Way be?
Would that be he's playing
Federal Way? Well, is it even? I guess it's technically King County. It's like the last city.
I said Pierce County. And King.
Oh, we're not talking about.
Is Kent and King or Pierce?
Kent King. Is in King.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, he's definitely Bothell, Ryan Bothell.
Why?
Because Bothell sucks. No, I'm just want to make fun
Bothell
of cities.
It seems over. I don't know.
I gotta be
honest. I don't think it sucks, but it's like you're not worth anything. But somehow
you're a suburban kid, though. Yeah. For me, growing up in the city,
I'm a suburban kid.
Yeah, you grew up out in some island.
I spent 3 years on an island, and then I lived in downtown Seattle my entire life.
Yeah, suburban kid. I grew up in the city.
First in university is not suburban.
Outside of Renton's okay. Outside of Renton, I think everything else is pretty much garbage. I like Bellevue Square now. Or not now, when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say not now.
Not now, but they had a good old Orange Julius there. So what? Why don't we get some mailbag questions here?
It's turning into one of those.
Yeah, we can always end early. I mean, I think the questions that we have were related to this match.
Did someone ask how many red cards we'd get in this match? Is that on the prediction
sheet? No, but recently Tim Hamilton did post most ridiculous red cards in MLS.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think either of these would be an argument for maybe a wrong call. I mean, it was close for number two. But
yeah.
Well, I think that I would say that second call was terrible.
Doing it.
That was one of the worst calls I've seen on the season. How do you give a red card in a situation? I mean, Christian is literally standing right next to them. That's not Dogso. He could just step over and block the ball. It was a horrible mistake by Bell. But unless you're giving a red card for taking someone down from behind, which that was not what happened, I don't know how you don't go to VAR.
We didn't see a lot of replays of it, did we? They
showed two.
Yeah, it's.
So Dan the Bastard says, it's pretty clear Vancouver watched some tape. Drop players low, give Sounders possession, and then counter. This happens a lot. Why do we struggle so much against this? Players or tactics? For one, I would like to see an attacking movement that isn't across from the prime assist zone to the box with five white cap shirts and one Sounder shirt.
Yes, Dan.
At the same time, I don't know who on this roster can do anything else. And to me, that's therein lies the problem. Schmetzer likes a specific type of player.
Mm-hmm.
And our players don't always fit what they're being asked to do. The things that, like, what Dan asked there for, Rusnak can do, I think. But we don't see that because they play it through the wings.
Yeah, if we had a Clint Dempsey and an Oba in front of Rusnak, can you imagine if Albert was playing with Clint and Oba?
Yeah.
That would be fun.
Be incredible. I mean, what about you, Nick? What's your thoughts on that? Like, is this personnel? Is it coaching? Is it both? Is this another disconnect between GM and coach like we had in the past with Garth, and the players we're bringing in are being forced into positions they don't fit? What's going on?
Is it dementia?
I don't know. I think that it's not as easy to just make the simple answer right there. Like, it's just a simple Jesus Obed really staying with things
until he basically should be getting a yellow.
Yeah, he definitely deserved the card there.
But again, it's easy in the heat of the moment to get frustrated about this particular situation.
I mean, I don't think Dan's in the heat of the moment there. This is something he's been consistently saying, and Aaron and I have been consistently saying that what we're doing isn't working. So he's saying, why can't we try something else? Is it that it won't, our players can't do that? Is it that our coaches refuse to do that? That's the question. Why are we sticking with something that clearly burns us every time and we have no answer for on offense and defense?
I feel like that's a little hyperbolic to say because it's not it's not happening all the time, you know, but when it does happen, the results are quite ugly. This one is different because it's 1-0. And those two, the one goal came before the two red cards. So it's not even like.
I think there's an explanation, and I'm not attacking you specifically, but I think if you look at every single match, there's an explanation for why the result was that way. And it's not quite like as it seems. When really you step back 30,000 feet, we're halfway through the season, and it does seem exactly that way. There are defensive gaffes that give up the goals, but generally the defense plays pretty well. We lead the league in crosses, but we cannot. We have the worst conversion, and we cannot seem to pass through the middle of the field into the goal. We just pass around the middle of the field. And then you sub in Jordan, like Manugu, and then that just blows up any game plan because it's like, oh, just the field tilts to Manugu.
And Jordan doesn't play like Jordan is fast enough that he should be running at defenders.
I don't think he's
I
don't think he's not fast enough anymore.
I mean, even injured, he's still faster.
Mean in general. I think he's faster. I think he's got bursts, but I don't think he can consistently. I think he went from a hard tire to a soft tire. He can, you know what I mean? Like he could be fast for longer, younger.
How's that not
got two Newton?
I mean, he grabbed Ross. I mean, the ball maybe being on the other side prevented it, but he grabbed Rothrock as Rothrock was running towards the goal, took him down from behind. That was way more egregious
than the John Bell.
Than the John Bell one. The difference being the ball was on the other side. So
John Bell's wasn't.
You could question whether or not that he could have recovered it.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I don't think Jordan's got the stamina or the gas to be a sprinter.
He's also never done that, though.
When he was 19, 20, 21,
he wasn't a forward then. He was doing it on the wing. He's never done it as a forward where he has run at the defense from the center in a way that can create through balls through the center. That's just never been his game. And I don't, with his skill set, I don't understand why it hasn't.
Yeah. And I'm concerned.
Granted, it's the same coach the whole time. So maybe that's why. I don't know. That's what, that, I think that's the question. Is this by design or is this something that, because we play from the wings. This is what we do. But what we're seeing this year is it's not working the same.
We play from the wings, but our best wingers have been.
This is really crazy watching the build up from the Sounders right now with nine players is they are the gaps between players is much more pronounced than usual. And it's really interesting that they're still holding possession.
It might be a good thing.
I mean, it actually looks, they look better.
Yeah.
They're moving the ball in a way they were unable to do before they had, were down two men. And usually you do see that with one man. How's that not a foul?
That actually did look like a foul. I know we're going to ask for it right there, but that would be 67-50 on the time.
Yeah,
is that Rothbard.
Yeah.
No, I mean, he's still down. Down is,
and then of course he calls it the other way on a ball that I don't think was a foul. We'll see the replay right here as he goes to check on him. But there's no reason to check on him
that
really.
Oh ball. Jesus, that's not good from Rothrock.
I mean, I think he just got stepped on.
Yeah, he's fine.
You look at the XG, MLS now has Vancouver at 0.98 and us at 0.75, despite them leading 1-0. I think that's fair.
We're going to win this game.
I mean, we definitely can tie it.
It's a fucking bonkers game.
What I think is too often in the Sounders, results cover up our poor performances. I think... if you actually looked, I mean, look how far we made it last year. I think it what we saw was clear problems, and we didn't fix the problems like we hoped they would. I think we tried to, but then injuries prevented it. And so maybe it's not fair for this season, but we still have some other problems. I mean, Areola, I don't think Areola fixes what's going on here, despite having the best cross in the league from what we've seen.
I don't know. I think that... one, it's easy for us to look at it just from a myopic Sounders only point of view, where every team's going to have rough patches, are going to have rough games. I feel like there's a contingency of us that want to immediately jump to the idea that things are doom and gloom when I don't think that's exactly the case.
We're in fifth place and about to drop further. Like we, and we're not better than that. The stats bear out. That's where we belong. That's the thing. The stats bear out that we're fifth in the Western Conference, and that's where we should be, fourth or fifth on every single category.
I just see.
So that's the problem here, is that we are who we are, and we just gave up another goal.
Yep.
Not surprising based on.
By the way, we gave up a goal that I, on a shot that I wish we would take.
Yeah, why don't we shoot from outside
the box? Why don't we, like 22 yards out? I never see a shot like that.
Well, funny you say that, because that is a Sounders mailbag question from Alex Diaz. Yes. Why are we scared to take shots from outside the box?
I don't know. That's a good question for Brian Schmetzer.
But I think we forget that it wasn't that long ago that we were taking and scoring goals from outside the box. So, again, earlier in the season.
Really?
I don't – nah. Maybe you got a couple lucky ones, but nah.
We don't purposely take shots when, like, right, boom. Let's. Your hips are square. Just take a shot. We don't have that mentality. We don't have your hips. Rusnak would have a couple more goals. It seems to be passed around. That just got through the trees, didn't it? Watching the replay. God damn. Well. Now it's going to get weird. Two red cards. 9 against 11. I mean, you kind of just, what do you do here? Do you just put on the other kids, right? And just say, go after it?
Well, we kind of did that. We put in Kalani Kosaranzi. We obviously got Danny Musoski out there. Well, he's not a kid, but we've also got Rothrock out there.
So is that four subs then? Do we have one left?
I think we have one window left. We have one window left.
one window left, but do we have any players left?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I missed on that sub window. We sub four people off on that one window. So we have one sub.
Yep.
One sub, that's one great window.
Yeah. Well, two windows, no, but it's irrelevant. We have one sub available.
And we have four. We have four windows.
No, we sub four people off on that last one.
Yeah, so we have two more windows, but we only have one sub. We make a sub of nobody in the final window.
Rough, rough stuff. Well, big gulp, huh? All right. See you later.
Slurpee.
You don't get the reference?
Nope.
Dumb and Dumber. Big gulp, huh? All right. Yeah. See you later. Oh, nice save, Fry.
What is that from?
Dumb and Dumber.
When he's leaving the gas station.
Long time ago.
He just says it to two people.
I think it's a funny movie, but I think it's overrated.
It's what, not in your top 10? It's in 11 in your comedies.
It's more of the
it's got the most laughs of all time. Even if you take the last 2 years of streaming out, it's got the most laughs of all time.
No way. Something About Mary is way funnier than that movie.
I quote Dumb and Dumber far more often than I've ever quoted Something About Mary.
I think that's true, but that's a different equation, I think.
There are probably four or five different quotes from Dumb and Dumber that I still use within a month. Like,
it's okay, I'm a limo driver is like, I'm just gonna do it. Just leave me alone.
Samsonite. No. I was way off.
You know how many times I do that in a hotel? I get a bag. It's a Samsonite.
It's
I say
it all the time. It's a cardigan, but thanks for noticing. Killer boots, man.
See, I don't know. I saw them both in the theater, but to me, Dumb and Dumber, it doesn't hold up as well. It is funny, but it's there's a lot of movies like that I think are in their place in time. Luckily, and I don't know this because I haven't watched it in the last decade, but I wonder if it seems like it would be less problematic than some of the other movies we loved when we were younger. Upon review,
Dumb and Dumber over Ace Ventura is pretty much probably right up there as a can't.
Really? I mean, I don't think Ace Ventura is that funny. That's Jim Carrey too over the top. I loved it then, but...
No, I was just saying that's probably more of a movie you cannot introduce to the public now.
Which one?
Yeah. But I'm wondering why. What is it in it that made it...
Finkel's Einhorn's Finkel. The reaction to kissing.
Well, I mean, I'm thinking like Revenge of the Nerds.
Well, like, I mean, that's got a straight up rape scene that
I know. And there's so much racism. I mean, you look at all the John Hughes films. Those are classic films that
I forget that you guys are grandpas compared to me.
Oh, okay. That explains a lot.
Jesus.
Oh, that was a beautiful save from Fry. It should be 3-0 Vancouver right now.
Was that a save?
Yeah. He got a save out of that.
Yep. Beautiful save from Fry. Shout out.
I don't think I've seen Revenge of the Nerds.
I think you're probably okay. It's part of the boobs comedies of the late 70s, early 80s.
Porky's,
Meatballs. The beginning of the National Lampoon.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's right in that vein.
Not Vacation, but the other Animal House. I mean, it's after all those, but
it's in that.
I know of it, right? Because I watched a lot of Comedy Central in the late 90s. Like,
what do you know? If you're not watching on HBO, no, you don't get the edited version. No,
I know. I mean, 90% of that movies is nudity and racism. So,
oh, okay. Well, then that's where I know of it, and then not the
It is really interesting, though, because as a kid, we all rooted for Lewis when those things happened, but not so much anymore. There's a lot of things that don't hold up, like Rothrock getting fouled there, and then they don't call it.
He's kind of a player that doesn't get a lot of calls, his style of play.
What do you think about that?
I don't know if that's true.
I mean, you're a Kobe fan. I think it's way more true in NBA than it is in MLS, but there's some players that don't get the calls while others do. Mm-hmm. What do you think of that when players haven't put in their time to earn a call when other player
you
on the same
nailed
foul?
It right there with you got to put in the time where it feels like there's this reluctance for the young players to make that move. Like, who was it? Who do we end up trading to Nashville?
Dinneron?
No, and we got Madranda back on the other side of it.
Yeah,
but nothing, not Wingo.
But yes, we traded
one of the few players that would take players on 1v1 at that time of the 2017, 18, 19 Sounders, and that's exactly what would happen is he would earn the foul, it wouldn't get called because. Yeah, just that was the vibe that I got. It's like, oh, you haven't earned it.
Yeah. Whereas we see Georgie do get that, but I think it's because of his moves, the fouls are so egregious.
I mean, there's also that.
I was thinking of Hand Walla Buana.
Yeah.
That's the only signature I have on my scarves, actually. Mm. From the 90. You did a little signing there. That's the earning. I think it's more just like they're all human, right? So the referees are around. They understand how you play. You're not trying to pull one on me. I have more trust in your style of play and know that if you're going to fall down like that, that's probably a foul. They're not able to see everything. Like we do know this sport cannot be appropriately and most proficiently reffed with one person running around the middle of 22.
Yeah.
Right.
And then two little flaggers, right? Like,
and the flaggers clearly don't do just, the job half the time.
No, I mean they're better athletes running that you're trying to catch up with. That's your job. Catch up with the athletes running, and we'll give you half the field still. But they're not gonna get it right all the time. And then you have to stop, and that's why the cameras are involved. But anyway, diatribe. But
it always bugs me that people say LeBron flops because it's like they've never heard of Manu Ginobili. Who flops like Neymar.
Yeah.
He flopped the Sonics out of a playoff series one time on the most BS foul call I've ever seen.
Yeah. And also every player has flopped. It's just the consistency. It's like, what pattern do they flop? Are they a flopper or do they,
or are they, or a floppy?
They flop right there?
Yeah. Well, let me tell you, it's floppy.
You know what?
Another good.
You can have your floppy disk. My disk is hard. Thank you very much. I got a hard disk.
One of my
5.25 inch.
No, unfortunately, it's a 3.5.
Millimeter too.
There's a bunch of younger listeners right now, including maybe one of our ultras that are like, "What's that mean?"
Yeah, hey guys, you ever wonder why the save icon looks like? You ever wondered why the save icon looks like the save icon?
That is Nick's dick. Your save icon, right there. We used to have to slide that thing open too to check on it.
What?
Oh man, what a ball through all.
Oh, he couldn't get to it. Vancouver, I mean, understandably, they have two extra players, but they're looking good right now. I mean, here's the thing is, I don't hate Vancouver. I'm frustrated that we shat the bed against a shorthanded Vancouver team.
With that said, I had to take my headphones. I had to take my headphones out on the two of you because I had a mouthful of beer, and I was this close to just spewing it across my keyboard. So
you're going to spew into this.
Stu Hawkins? Cody Baker. Cody Baker! Oh, my God. This is first appearance of the year?
Is this 2020?
I think it is. I love it. Man, remember how good he was last year?
I like Cody Baker.
Wasn't it the year before? Wasn't it 2023 that we saw Cody Baker for the
first time? No. He was last year. Yeah, but he had picked up an injury and then just couldn't get back on.
I thought 2023 was the Cody Baker read-writing.
No, it was last year. It was because
Cody Baker read-writing.
The same year that we went to
one person
Vancouver and watched. I will say he always impressed me because I thought he was just a dude. And then it turned out, no, he's not just a dude. He actually is solid.
Yeah.
But
it's very, there's a Rothrock similarity to both of them.
Looking around the league right now, LAFC is up 2-1 on SKC in the Portland's second winning. Half. Of course, Portland, no, they won that in injury time. Colorado lost last night at home against Austin. 2-0, and we already talked about Chicago DC 7-1. Not a lot of games this weekend. I think they only certain teams are getting punished for having players in the leave.
I guess that adds a little bit more to their argument to not play tonight.
Now, do you think we didn't want this game to be canceled because
I kind of wish it was now.
Yeah. Do you think it should have been, though? Because it doesn't really seem fair to us or to Vancouver, but especially Vancouver, that this game happened. Not because of their sicknesses, but, I mean, just coming off of that game on Saturday, and with everything considered, it seems like poor planning from MLS's part.
Well, MLS fucked up by not giving Vancouver a break before their Champions League final, so they fucked that up. So that's step one.
Whereas we got that right. Yeah, we got our main
I remember that was like a bubble surrounding the final. Like we were just able to completely focus on that match.
Yeah. Now with that said, the this game
what a loser. They should lose the game.
This game does remind me a lot of the Sounders Austin game.
What's happening?
Where we started five teenagers. Where we started five teenagers. Yeah. Where I'm going with this is that we won 1-0, and that's why like, oh, we won a game with five teenagers. But if you recall how we scored that one goal was Ruidíaz scoring like a 45 yarder.
Mm-hmm. Right, but the difference is those are the games we used to win.
They're showing the replay of that. He just forgot the flag was there.
Yeah.
What an idiot. How do you do that?
I've never seen that happen before. Ooh. So
I haven't either.
I've never seen it. Even in public, which we don't have flags.
We do.
Yeah,
that's why.
We have flags.
Yeah.
Standards?
Yeah, I bought the flags last year.
Yeah, you played with them for a full season.
Yeah, we got the pride flags on top of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I did a corner today.
Yeah.
With one.
Yeah.
Anyways, ultimately...
I was focused on the ball.
This game, you know, I don't know.
Look, is this emblematic of our whole season? No. But these results are happening too often. These mistakes are happening too often. And there needs to be some sort of reckoning within the locker room.
I don't think they are, though. I guess that's the difference. Is I don't think.
But what games are you watching where we're not giving up stupid goals? The second goal. We're not talking about the second goal here.
That's been a third one right there.
We're talking about the first goal. Yeah, they did almost. But
just
the first goal.
Pick any team and look at all the goals scored against them this season. Take the best team in the league. Take the best team in the league and look at all the goals that they allowed in the year.
Yeah, but you know what else they're doing? They're scoring goals. They're scoring goals they're meant to score. I think my problem is if you look at our XG, we should be scoring more goals. That's a beautiful play from Moose.
Come on.
Beautiful defense.
That was all
they gave us a penalty?
Nope.
The way he was – I hate that the ref call for goal kick and penalty are so similar.
Well,
they
need to come up where you're pointing.
Yeah, I know. But the way he ran in pointing, it was like, what? This was a brilliant defense. Oh, actually.
If you're giving a red for the incidental leg, that's a penalty.
He didn't touch the ball.
If you're giving a red to John Bell and they played it, so they're not even VAR.
You should give us the opportunity of a review right there.
That is some serious fuckery.
No, it's as if they've turned the game off. It's the only thing that's happening right now is the clock. The refs aren't watching that.
I mean, what you can say is Danny went down a little easy.
Doesn't matter. His legs got
No, he didn't actually. I don't think his legs got tangled. I think he.
No, I don't think they actually.
He lunged for the ball and missed it, and then bodied him shoulder to shoulder.
He had his right hand on his left. On Danny's left.
Oh my goodness!
Shoulder.
Look at that. Well, and then of course the next defender fixed it, but.
Yeah.
I like Rienzi.
Yeah.
I do as well.
He's ripped, by the way. Have you seen him with his shirt off?
No,
but I'd like to.
Why would I see him with the shirt off?
I mean, there are many opportunities.
Where?
You didn't buy the calendar?
What are you talking about?
No,
he doesn't go to home games, remember?
He's calling a penalty.
Are you fucking kidding me? That looked like he slipped.
João Paulo downed. In contact. Okay.
This ref can fuck himself.
Let's see the replay. This could still be the right call, but...
Oh, right call has nothing to do with it. I'm still on about the Musovski.
Did he touch him? He didn't touch
him.
He
did the trailing
leg. Oh, and he did when he slid out. But yeah, you got to call that because it's in the box. But gosh, that's so unlucky. Because it wasn't when he was running. It was when he stopped and then was down like in a plank formation.
You know what? If this was the second goal, I wouldn't be as upset as I was as that decision.
What are you talking about? Fry's going to make the save, and then it's going to go to VAR.
He doesn't know how to save.
Then it's going to go to VAR.
Call it back.
Does he even have – he has one PK save in his career, right? Just one?
No, he did against Houston in the playoffs. He's got one right here.
Yeah.
Or not.
No. I mean, he has more than one, but he's just not
– No, an actual save. Not like
– Oh, where people haven't missed?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess he is lower on that. It's usually missing.
Of course that's what I'm referencing. Not including people skyrocketing it.
I think he has more in U.S. Open Cup, though. But I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Until they change the stutter step rule, they cannot have the rule where goalies – yeah, he got him.
Yeah.
Or goalies come off the line.
Bottom line is my rule is the moment the player makes a motion – goalies can come off their line.
I think it should. Yeah,
agreed.
Do whatever you
like.
Want.
Stutter all you want, but the moment you move,
then
it's all on.
Yep. Or if you want to use the line, no stuttering. You must run straight forward and kick the ball straight forward.
Yeah, that's where I think it's harder to actually.
Be one or the other. You can't have both.
Thing. I think it's once the player, the kicker, moves, it's just or the whistle blows. Fuck it.
So
whistle blows go. Now you can. Now it's penalty kick. What if the goalkeeper can rush out? Let's just do that.
We're pushing forward again for another goal, but luckily the Sounders defense.
That's rude of them to do that.
Yeah, just give it up, guys. I mean,
that's not very Canadian of them.
Also, do you really want to ride? Like, we could end up playing them in the playoffs. Do you really want to rub it in here and give us a chance to come back later and do it back to you in a playoff match? Don't think you want to, even if it is your rivals.
Are you talking dirty to me?
Yeah. Yeah, because we're going to get that seventh spot, yet we're going to make it. We're going to do what we always do. We're going to make it to the Western Conference Final. Why would you expect anything else?
We're going
to
finish number two.
Yeah, we just I think the difference is expectations. I expect us to be playing for championships every year.
Well, I mean, I think
do I expect the Seahawks to do that? No, because they're terrible now.
I mean,
do I expect the Mariners to do that? No, but I expect the Storm, even though they're kind of suck right now. I expect the Rain and I expect the Sounders to be playing for championships every year.
Well, I mean, I get that, but I think that's actually kind of part of my concern is sometimes the standard, I feel like sometimes people have expectations that what they expect from the Sounders is what isn't really possible in MLS play.
I don't think I've ever seen this before. They said it's +5, but he just blew it anyway.
Yeah, because he didn't want to. It's the right call in this situation.
I mean, I'm fine with it. They're all fine with it. But so what you're saying then is you're okay with the Sounders not trying to win the championship every year.
No, I'm saying that fans have an unrealistic expectation. They expect to win every game 4-0. And I think that's not
that. I would be fine with a 1-0 win where it's not a fluke handball that gets us the win.
See, that's, you know what I mean? that's exactly my point, is that there are, you win in multitude of ways. And
I agree across the season, but the problem we're seeing is that we're seeing certain things over and over again. And we need the ball to bounce our way at times. Today could have been that before all the red cards, right? We had one bad defensive mistake that they exploited. But we were never able to recover from that. And granted, they didn't have a whole ton of time. I think if we had only had one red card, perhaps this is a different result.
Yep. I mean, we haven't won a championship since 2019. And MLS Cup. MLS Cup.
Yeah.
Sorry. That's 6 years.
Yeah.
And there seems to be this feeling like we grew this sense of obviously winning CONCACAF, but that it feels like we're slipping and we're losing grips on that expectation of silverware every year. And
we were 2020 away from a dynasty. If we had won in 2020, we would have been considered a great MLS dynasty.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the difference is the league has changed, and
shouldn't be a surprise because the league
the money has
eight generations since 1996.
Right. But the money has outpaced the Sounders, and so they have to spend smarter, and they're not, I titled that episode, Weibel's a genius. Craig is a genius. I think he did the best with what he can do, but I do think we are hamstrung by the fact that we can't spend money the way some of these other teams do. And so we shouldn't be expecting championships every year. We should be expecting, I think we should expect to be second or third in the West, because I think we should always play above where we are, but I have a problem with this finishing fourth.
It's keeping us from getting some ownership that has deeper pockets. And we have the
wish for.
They're not for sale. A, they're not for sale. B, who local? I mean, unless you're going to convince like Steve Ballmer to come back up and do it, or someone what local ownership? Who, you know? Look at what happened with the Rain. Not that they weren't good, but when they became the OL Rain, they were just part of a cog in the system, right? Like, they didn't win a championship. They got close.
So you're saying we need local money.
Or Adrian needs to convince some of these rich people that are owners to inject some money.
I was going to say, I think our ownership is pretty fucking wealthy.
Owners are, but what, and why would they put money into a team where they don't make the profit? Where if it gets sold, they only make a small percentage. Adrian would have to sell off some of his ownership stake, I think, to make this happen. Because he doesn't have the money. He's not a self-made millionaire. He has family money, which is why his mom and him have he talked about it, a company that they started is the owner of the team. Well, owners, we are talking about it. Obviously the league owns the team, but, this path was started when Joe Roth had to get divorced. And then luckily he let us sell the team locally instead of to trust fund, but into a hedge fund. So, I mean, I think the problem here is our ownership as it is, does not see signing higher quality players as a way to win. And that's why I root for Miami generally, is because until Miami and those teams win championships regularly, he'll never think otherwise. Because why? We're the second best team in the West last year, arguably the second best team in the MLS, just barely getting by. And we did it without spending tons of money.
I mean, I'm going to say that I still think that this is when healthy, one of the top three rosters in the league. So I think this is all colored from,
why does it have to be one or the other, though? Why can't you just be a well-constructed team that has one or two players that are incredibly talented that costs a lot of money? Why can't you have Christian Roldan and Messi on the same
field? I mean, I do think we're one of the most talented teams. I think they're underperforming, though, even with the injuries. And the question is, it goes back to that question. Is it coaching? Is it players? I don't know which it is. I don't have the answer to that. But I know the one consistency over the years has been that we have the same coach. I do think, and this is a conversation I had on one of the Ultra Talks, I think the other day, is this is a very un-Seattle conversation. Maybe it is time to move on from some of our older players that have been with us. I love Christian to death. But if his contract is hamstringing us in any way, pun intended, I don't think it is. Maybe it's time to move on. You obviously know what my opinion is on Jordan, unless he comes back and lights
first
up the
off,
rest.
Christian's a horrible example to use your starting argument on that. Now, Jordan might be a better argument.
I know. I think Jordan is. But Christian, I don't know. I would have to see Christian's performance. That's what I'm saying. I don't know what his contract is. He's not a TAM player, I don't think. But some players, if, and I think he would work with us. Jordan being a DP right now is rough on us because he's been hurt. If he's been healthy, is it something different? Possibly, but we haven't seen that. And I said before the season, you know, I want to see him come out and prove that he's a DP. And so far he hasn't. He totally can in the second half. There's plenty of time left. Oh, they just showed that new Who replay again. That is so frustrating. Mm-hmm. But to me, you have one of the most talented rosters in the league, maybe the most talented in the West, and they're underperforming. So I think the question is why? And I don't know the answer to that. I agree, Kitty. I agree.
Wow. This is just terrible. Just wow.
I mean, I don't fault John Bell for his red card there. I don't think it was a red card. And, you know, he wouldn't be starting if we didn't have injuries. I think Joao Paulo's penalty there is kind of a freak play. You know, I'm not worried about those in general. It's the head-scratching mistakes that bother me. That new Who play there, the new Who not covering on the goal. Why is everyone standing around ball watching? We're halfway through the season. Why are we making these same mistakes? Last year, they figured it out, though, right? Last year, we were making horrible mistakes in the beginning, and everything changed. Second half of the season, we were one of the best teams in the league.
I mean, I think the Club World Cup is going to be a good shakeup. Just, it's completely different situation. You're literally taken out of that.
We're also going to be playing different for a little bit. We're going to be playing five at the back because we're going to get run by these teams otherwise.
It's also really frustrating that right now we should be getting excited. Everything's happening all at once to make us be like, what the fuck? It's just really fucking frustrating that we should be really excited right now. And right now we're just like angry.
After that LAFC game versus, was it America? I was excited. And now I honestly, I'm going to go to the Sounders games because I want to go to the Sounders games. I'm only going to the other games because I want my World Cup tickets for next year. And that was the deal, right? You got to show up. You got to go to the games. I'm not excited about this tournament anymore. I don't even want the Sounders to put in their starters. Unless it's someone like Obed who might wow somebody. But he hasn't been playing his best, unfortunately, right now. Shout out to this kid for this 19-year-old for Vancouver, though. What a game.
He's got a 19-year-old's mustache and hair combination, that's for sure.
Yeah, he does. Jesus.
Jevon Badwal, like, what a cool moment for him in this game.
Yeah.
I got to give him props. But, yeah, I'm not excited about this anymore, and it's a bummer because if they had because of caring about, you know, workers' rights and caring about our team, this is not where we want the Sounders to be right now. A win today or win the last two matches, you go into this in second place, finishing the first half on a high, and all of a sudden everything just seals effed up, you know?
And so we don't know. I don't know who this team is. Like, it's like, we aren't at the bottom of the table. We're not at the top. We can't figure out who we are and how to score goals. And that's, I think, the most frustrating thing.
I think this is who we are. And that's what the numbers bear out. The numbers bear out that we're fourth or fifth.
You're trying to get better than this. No one wants to be this. You want your identity is we like in NFL, we run the ball, we're brute force, we're physical, or we're flashy, we like to pass. We put four wide receivers out there every play. We just do the same thing and nothing seems to change, but we're deep and we still have quality. The stats say we're good, but the goals say we're not quite there.
I mean, the possession stats, but the stats, I mean, on one of our fellow Sounders podcasts, they broke it down. And no matter how much the Sounders fan host tried to argue that it wasn't the case, the stats bear out that we are the fourth or fifth team in the West.
Mm-hmm.
The analytics, you know, they all bear out that we're the fourth or fifth team in the West. That's how we've been playing. Now, do we think we can play better? Maybe. I think that we've been playing poorly, but this guy didn't. And so when you think about it, I think this is our identity right now. And this is frustrating, but that's the case. That doesn't mean you can't make a run. You get hot at the right time. But this, to me, feels more like we just need to win 54% of the games to make the playoffs, and then maybe we can make a World Series run because we're built for it.
I mean,
then we're gonna win the Shield and be a dominant team.
Hey, if the Sounders make a World Series run, I am going to be like the first to say best team ever. Like,
here's the thing: is you know the Sounders are gonna win the World Series before the Mariners.
That's 100% true. That is 100% true.
And on that note, I think that's a good time to call it a day.
It is. It is. Where can they find you guys on the interwebs?
Hey, come find me while you still can at Instagram. While
you still can. Where are you going?
He's leaving them all. I don't think you'll leave Instagram.
No. What I mean by that, I was getting a little dark because we're about to have martial law declared on this country, and it's some real serious fuckery happening. But hey, let's just not lob
I'm just
that
hoping
grenade.
This is the beginning of West Coast Cascadia. Let's do it.
Speaking of which, that's my Instagram, Cascades2C. Cascades2C on Instagram.
Number two.
No,
sounds like
T-O.
Maybe I should.
Oh, T-O. There you
maybe
go.
I should get an Instagram and change it from. Or to San Diego to Seattle.
From
so
R2
can,
to D2?
It could be SD to SEA.
All right. What about you, Aaron? Where can they find you?
Generally, just our Discord is the Scuttlebutt. Yeah, that's it. I'm just not going to promote me on social media when I don't go on there. So
that's true. That's good. Legal Minded Punk, that's what I am everywhere. I hope you saw the beautiful ad at halftime where I appeared in it for Rave Foundation.
Oh, you did?
Apparently, I didn't see it. I was looking down at my phone, but Nick saw it.
Yeah.
I heard like a on his end, and then he said, there's you.
Jesus.
I'm assuming that's what he was talking about.
I was masturbating to images of you. And...
Oh, good. I was right here. You didn't need to go anywhere. Editor, can you...
Well, Aaron stepped away at halftime, so I couldn't masturbate to him. So I needed something. And
my birthday's coming up, and I don't know if you still have it on. Do you have that on, Aaron? Is that what you're looking at? The beautiful image on your screen right now?
I'm staring at Brad Pitt's abs.
Brad Pitt dressed as
F1 the movie.
Driver.
I cannot wait.
For IMAX. I know what I want to do. For
this episode turned real quick.
Yeah.
Why is some dude that looks like if you asked me to draw Caleb Porter from memory on the screen right now?
He's like the Canadian Caleb Porter. I'm Legal Mighty Punk everywhere. Join the Discord. We have a great group of people in there. It's less like a bunch of Sounders fans and more like a family. We hang out in the stadium sometimes now. There's been tailgates. It's good time. So get over on the Discord. You can see that in the show notes here. He may not be calling the Club World Cup, but he's going to be there as a fan. James Wollhart, take it away.
Take it away.
You can follow the Sounders Scuttlebutt podcast on Twitter at @SSFCScuttlebutt. And for all inquiries, including questions for the gents or sponsorship opportunities, please email contact@scuttlebuttproductions.com. Be sure to subscribe to the show for new episodes following every Sounders FC match. And don't forget to share your feedback by rating and reviewing. And you can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at BritVoxus. That's BritVoxUS. We'll see you at Lumen, and go Sounders.
Alexa, who's the best MLS team of all time?
Seattle Sounders are both unequivocally and irrefutably the best MLS team of all time.